Today I'd planned some different things. I thought it's Christmas, and for those who would be joining us, we maybe need to make it a little bit lighter of a service. And I had planned to have gift boxes, and inside the gift box would be a verse, and I'd walk around and we'd open up the verse. And the more and more I planned it and looked at it, it's not quite what God had put on my heart today. And so we are going to dive deep just for a moment, but it's for the purpose of appreciating what today is. And so if you would join me, if you will, in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15. Today we're talking about, today Christmas is often associated with gifts, and usually gifts that are given. There are those gifts that sometimes at the last minute you forgot somebody, or you got to get something for somebody because they got something for you, and that's not a good thing. And so there's it's just not maybe that meaning there, but the most meaningful gifts that either we've received or that we have given, they usually have some thoughtfulness to it. They have some purpose to it. And it comes with a knowledge of who we are. It comes with a motivation of love. And often sometimes it comes with even sacrifice. And that's the gift that we find today with Jesus Christ, the one that Paul is referring to. Now, the context of this passage is that of generosity, where Paul is talking to the church and talking about being generous and helping others, helping the church and sharing with what they have. But he comes and the purpose of that generosity, the motivation of that, is Jesus Christ. And we see that this in a very simple verse in 2 Corinthians 9:15, where Paul, at the end of speaking of this, he says, and it ends with an exclamation mark, he says, "Thanks be to God for the indescribable gift." Now, this indescribable is the only time in the New Testament that we find this word, and different translations have it as it's too wonderful for words. And we know the gift is referring to Jesus Christ, but it's a gift that is too wonderful for words. It's inexpressible. And one even says it's unspeakable. And another says it's a gift that words cannot describe. And then I like this one where it says it's unspeakable. Unspeakably precious. Speaking of the gift that we have in Jesus Christ, the literal meaning is it's impossible to estimate. When it comes to understanding Jesus Christ, it's impossible for us to estimate and to thoroughly relate to the gift that we have been given through Jesus Christ on this side of heaven. There's no way that we can fathom what God has done for us. The gift we have here, it's rooted in a word that it means sacrifice, and it expresses a type of giving that highlights the generous desire of the giver. So what we have in this passage is essentially, thanks be to God who is generous and loves us so much that he is willing to sacrifice his son so that we may receive something that we can have the knowledge of, but truly can't even begin to fathom. Oh, what a just thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Now, in an attempt to understand, not to completely understand it, as we see that we can't, but there are several places that the gift is described. And Acts 2, we're going to move quickly through here, and so write these down, and as I've copied it and pasted them into my notes, and definitely be found faithful and always testing the Spirit, going through and checking the Scriptures. If you hear something but you don't read it yourself, always be found faithful doing that. But in Acts 2, we see that it is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And where Peter says, "Repent, each of you, and be baptized into the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." And he says, "And you will receive," and here it is, "the gift of the Holy Spirit." And so what we see here, what is Peter doing here? He's sharing the gospel. This gift is the result of sharing the truth of Jesus Christ and the love. And then we see when the gift is received in verse 41, he says, "So then, those who had received his word were baptized." So salvation is the intentional work. This gift is the intentional, thoughtful gift of a loving God, and is an intentional work of God, and also that of us. We see God has done his work through Jesus Christ. We know that God draws all men to himself. It's the Holy Spirit that brings conviction of sin. It's the Holy Spirit that works in our lives. And then we see, but the repentance. When men and women, when we come to the knowledge of whatever God is putting on our heart through his word and through his Holy Spirit, that repentance is our action. And then we see here that it's resulting in baptism. Now, I didn't say that the baptism was the work that brought salvation, but it resulted in the baptism. That repentance results in a changed life because of the gift that we've received. And then baptism, it represents the death to the old life, and it represents the beginning of the new life in Jesus Christ. That is the gift. Oh, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. In Acts 10, the gift is made, we see that the gift is made available to all people. In Acts 2, it's just the Jewish people. But in Acts 10, we see that it's extended to Gentiles, which Gentiles, there's the Jewish, and then there's everybody else in the world, which are Gentiles. Where it says, but whilst Peter was, and I'm reading from Acts 10, verses 44 through 48, and it says, while Peter was still speaking these words, in the context of the words that he was speaking, he is sharing the gospel with the Gentile family, of the centurion, his name was Cornelius, and it says, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who were listening to the message. And again, that is the message of Christ. And it says, all the circumcised believers, that's the Jews who came with Peter, they were amazed because of the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they were hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. Then Peter answered, surely no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized who receive the Holy Spirit just as we did. Can he? And then he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, we see the same gift of the Holy Spirit that was made available to the Jewish people was now made available to all people. This is huge. This is a significant time, not only in Scripture, but and not theologically, but in all of time, because we have just left a dispensation of the law where the people of Abraham, the Jewish people, were the people of God, and now this had been extended to all men and all women, to all people, to the Gentiles. This was huge that they received the gift of the Holy Spirit, and then we see that it is followed up within water baptism, both signifying, first, the one that is creating a changed life, and the second, that is signifying a changed life. In Romans 5:15, we see that this gift, this indescribable gift, it is seen as a gift of grace. In Romans 5:15, it says, but the free gift, that is of Jesus Christ, is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. Oh, the gift of Christmas, the indescribable gift, is that of grace. We know that through Adam's sin that we're all found guilty, and through that guilt we're all separated from God. And then that we know that Jesus, through his grace, through this gift on himself, took the tragedy of our separation from God. And again in Romans 5 in verses 17 and 18, we see it is the gift of righteousness. For if by, and the scripture says, for if by the transgression of the one, talking about Adam, death reigned through the one, how much more those who receive the abundance of grace of the gift, we see that word again, of righteousness, will reign in the life of the one, Jesus Christ. So then, through one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men, even so through one act of righteousness there resulted justification of life to all men. Now, in layman's terms, you're like, what does that mean? You know, well, let's unpack that. In layman's terms, it's that, hey, Adam messed up. Adam messed up, and that his sin, it condemned us all, and that sin had been passed down from generation to generation, and that through Jesus Christ, we have been justified. Through faith, that justification says that we are innocent, that we are made clean, that we are guiltless. We have been absolved of all of our sin because the work of Jesus Christ. Again, we see the gift here requires action, the action of God to draw us to Himself, and then for us, the men, the people that we're talking about in this passage, to respond by faith. There are three types of people that we find in this passage if we were to read the entire part of Romans 5, but there's three different types of people. One that the one that worship the things that God has made. Next, those that create their own righteousness. And then third, what we find here is that those who have been justified through faith. All of this because of the indescribable gift that we have through Jesus Christ. And again, out of all these three people, those that worship the things that God has made, those who create their own righteousness, and those that have been justified through faith, only the third person, those who have been justified through faith, are those who will live in eternal life with Jesus Christ. It's only through faith that we see that. Oh, Christmas is so much more. Again, I keep saying that's been the theme of this whole Advent season. It's so much more than just a baby in the manger. That baby grew up to be a man, and he paid the penalty for our sins, and that is the gift. Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 9, that's not going to be on the board, but it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." It is, here we find that word again, a gift of God. Not as a result of work, so that one may boast. The gift of God, the indescribable gift of God, is that through Jesus Christ and the actions that we have is to repent, to believe, and then and that belief is synonymous with faith. It's nothing that we can do. It's not anything that we can buy. In Acts 8:20, there's a thing that happens there with Simon, if you remember that passage, and where Peter is getting onto him because he wants to buy the gift of the Spirit. And he says, "Take your money. We cannot purchase this. This is only by the grace of God." And then John 12, we see that it's a gift with a purpose. Again, Jesus Christ, the child, has grown into a man, and we find him in John 12, 27 and 28, speaking to his disciples. And listen to the words of Christ. This is the child that laid in a manger for maybe a night, maybe two nights, maybe more, we don't know. But he's grown into to be the man, the rabbi, the teacher, all of the things that he has been called, and he's being followed by these people. And then he says to them, he says, "Now my soul has become troubled." Listen to this. "And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." So here he hits right before his death. And here we are. And then he says his purpose. "But for this purpose I came to this hour." Not away in the manger. That wasn't his purpose. Not to go to the temple when he was 12. Not to have three wise men come and give him gifts. He says, "This is the purpose for which I have come." This one hour was the reason for the miracle of the birth of Christ. And this hour. And listen to what he says. He says, "Father, glorify your name." And then a voice came out of heaven. And listen, I just love it. And God says back to him, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." The purpose of the coming of the Christ child was found in this hour of his death. The moment really is the epicenter of the Christmas story. It's why Jesus came. It's why the angels rejoice. And think about when the angels rejoice. It is always, they rejoice at the glory of God, and they rejoice at the repentance of men. Those are the times that we find the angels rejoicing. In Isaiah 53, verse 5. Listen to this, the prophecy. We've looked at a lot of prophecy as we've gone through. It's a wonderful life. And but this is another prophecy that we don't often look at Christmas time. But we see it's the purpose for which the Christ child came. And in verse Isaiah 53:5, it says, "But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities." And listen to this as we are considering him as the indescribable gift. "The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed." Tell you, friends, an uncrucified Christ is no benefit to our redemption. In verse 6, it says, all of us, Jews and Gentiles alike, all of us in this room today, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But it says, "But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him." Oh, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Verse 11 says, "As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and will be satisfied." Now, the picture of this is God looking at his son dying on the cross, paying our debt. But he says, God will see it and it will be set and be satisfied. "By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many, as he will bear their iniquities." The ultimate gift of Christmas is not merely God in the flesh, laying in a manger, but the Son of God who accomplished his purpose to reconcile us to God. A crucified Christ for our sin is the ultimate purpose of the coming of Jesus Christ. The gift of Christmas is, sadly, Jesus Christ hanging on the cross. And the most profound Christmas statement sounded like, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani." Where at that point, our lives were changed. That's a word that means, my God, you have forsaken me." Jesus Christ, the indescribable gift, the Christ child, had been born for the purpose of hanging on this cross and coming to the point of being forsaken for us. That is the gift. That is the gift of eternal life. Not that of having a holiday and baby Jesus, but that he had come to pay our price. Again, the Christmas story is this. The baby in the manger was the Son of God Most High. He was willing to come to a place, think about it, of unthinkable violence, of injustice. I mean, think about how the Son of God was treated. And the wrath of the Creator, the wrath that we find in the Old Testament, the wrath of God would eventually fall on him. He knew his purpose. And we see in John 12, it was a purpose that he was not looking forward to it. The gift, the indescribable gift, included that he would die a violent death at the hands of evil men. And that followers would weep that the Messiah was dead. But that gift included that he would rise again to complete the work that he came to do. Oh, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. At this time, we do this in remembrance of him. And at this time, I would like, it's a little different, and if you're the papa at the table, just go ahead and remove the white towel that's over the jar. You will find that there are some clear cups, and fill those up, one for each person at your table. And I will do it at my table. If you make a mess, the table is okay. It's covered in plastic. But as you pour this, think about Jesus Christ and His blood that was shed for us. After you have poured a cup for everybody at your table, go ahead and put the cork back on top. And then you will find also on the middle of your table, there is a tray, and it has a little covering. And Papas, if you would serve the people at your table. We will take the meal, or the take the Holy Communion together in just a moment as I read a scripture together. Is there anybody that has not been served? We'll be reading from Luke 22. Well, the context of this is the Passover. And Jesus is sitting with his 12 disciples. And he is having the Lord's Supper, or the Last Supper. But in verses, I'm going to read verses 19 through 20. It says, "And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, 'This cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood.'" Let's bless the Lord's Supper. Father in heaven, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for the indescribable gift, Lord. Even though that we have the knowledge of baby Jesus, of that which we would celebrate on Easter, your death and resurrection. Lord, we're aware of your knowledge, of your coming again and your promise to do that. But Lord, we have that in knowledge, Lord, but understanding, even your word says that's impossible. Father, I pray, Lord, for today. Lord, for every man, every woman, every child here, Lord, that you would, Lord, look into our hearts. Look into our hearts, Lord. Your word says your Holy Spirit, it brings conviction, it brings guidance. And Lord, before we, Lord, take the gift of remembering you, I pray, Lord, you convict our hearts. Church, pray. Just take a moment and you pray quietly to God and just share with him. Either if it's like Paul, thanks, Lord, for your indescribable gift, or Lord, help me in this way. Father, I pray that you would help us all increase in knowledge and the understanding of you and your Son and your love and your grace. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, church, take the bread, which represents the body, and take the juice that represents the blood. And as you do, remember Jesus Christ, the indescribable gift. Church, as you leave and you sit beneath the beautifully decorated tree or however you'll celebrate today, whether it's eating food around the table with family or friends or one another and celebrating in however you celebrate, I don't say this to bring a damper, but to bring understanding and rejoicing. But let us not forget the horror and the violence at the beginning and the end of the Christmas story. The story begins with a horrible slaughter of children, and it ends with the violent murder of the Son of God. The slaughter depicts how much the world needs grace, and we still need that grace today. But the murder, Jesus Christ on the cross, is the moment when that grace was given. Today, as you go home, and whether you look at, if you have a tree, and you look at your tree, and but I want you to, or if you see a Christmas tree, we look at these trees here. Let's remember the other tree, the one not decorated with lights and ornaments, but the one that is stained with the blood of the Son of God. And as you celebrate, remember that the pathway to our celebration today is that one of the love of God, His grace, the sacrifice of His Son, and the promise of eternal life. That is what we should be thankful for. And this, the motivation, I mean just the motivation of the Christmas story, is that of unshakable love of a God that, regardless of who we are and what we've done, loves us beyond measure. Thanks be to God for our indescribable gift.